It's Sunday night, which means it's time for The Nation. I'm Chris Lowe of ESPN, Austin Price of VolQuest. We are at The Nation Studios, our last show of the season. Before we take a little bit of break, the rest of this month, May, June, July, we'll come back in August with football season. We all hope and pray it's a lot closer to what we are used to for football season. And speaking of football, we're going to have some Tennessee football coverage on this show. Is Mike Eckler, Tennessee's special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach, supposed to join us later in this show as Tennessee focuses, sets its sights now on the spring game this coming Saturday at 4 o'clock. They scrimmaged this past weekend, AP. I wonder, and we'll talk to Mike about this, is sort of we look forward to the spring game. And I understand that spring games, there's two main goals. Number one, don't get anybody hurt.
That's the number one goal. Okay, that's number one. That's actually the only goal.
Number two, don't show a whole lot because every game is really on TV. You know, so why are you going to show a whole lot? And, you know, most of the spring practice is trying to sort of identify, especially with a new staff, who can do what, who you can count on, maybe some guys who have developed. But as you look forward or look ahead to the spring game, knowing what we saw in the last two scrimmages, what do you think is most important for Tennessee?
For me, it's just continue to build. You know, you're not going to know who your quarterback is coming out of the spring. I mean, that thing's going to be a wide-open competition into fall. And, you know, you want to continue to build with playmakers, whether it be receivers, running backs, figuring out who you can count on and who you can't count on at different positions, like the offensive line, defensively. It's continue to build off what you did yesterday, which was – have a pretty solid scrimmage. The defense, I thought, you know, from everybody I've talked to, held their own and really kind of showed flashes yesterday more so than they have at any point during spring. So, you know, I think for the defense, they got to continue to build upon what they did yesterday. And, again, I'll go back to number one, just don't get anybody hurt. This team is so thin at certain positions, they can ill afford a Peerless Price spring game type injury that would trickle into fall.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a lot of young guys play anyway. And certainly, as we talked about at the outset, you want to give guys those kind of guys chances to see what they can do. You have a crowd there. It's, you know, your last shot of the spring. So you want to give every guy you can a shot, you know, on a stage like this, new coaching staff, new offense, a little bit of new everything, and sort of see what they can do. We want to thank our friends at Mortgage Investors Group. It's been a great year. We certainly appreciate their support. The Nation is presented across the state of Tennessee each week by Mortgage Investors Group, the number one lender in the state of Tennessee. Mortgage Investors Group is excited to help home buyers affordably achieve the dream of home ownership by giving you the home court advantage. This great advantage will allow you to get into that dream home with less money out of your pocket. Home buyers will be provided with an exclusive 15-year fixed-rate mortgage, second mortgage of $7,500, which will help you cover your down payment, your closing costs, your prepaids, and in some cases, a portion of the insurance costs. This is not just for first-time home buyers. Move-up buyers may also be eligible. So call MIG today to learn more about the Home Court Advantage program. And if you're feeling stuck on where to go for mortgage advice, go to MIG's website, MIGonline.com, to chat with a licensed loan officer and get moving today toward your home buying goals. So this weekend, baseball, I had a chance to go to Friday night's game. Just a great environment, unbelievable environment. I think they had capped the attendance at 65%. And I'd say of all the Vol games I've been to over the last four, five, 6 years, there was more energy in that ballpark than I've seen in a long time. Tennessee didn't win, but, boy, what a great win for Tennessee yesterday. Evan Russell is just the guy has just absolutely owned the SEC pitching with three home runs, including a grand slam. And one of the best, I think, wins for Tennessee in baseball last night against Vanderbilt in a long time. A chance today to win the series. Vanderbilt just too strong and showing today why it's the number one rated team in the country. And Tim Corbin, gosh, Tim's been there going on two decades now and has built an unbelievable program with players. You talk about a team that stretches nationwide to get players. Vanderbilt's the epitome of that. Just too strong at the plate today. And Vanderbilt winning, going away against Tennessee to win this series, Tennessee's first SEC series that they did not win of the year. And I think now we find out, AP, as Tennessee goes into a couple series, well, quite frankly, they're going to be the favorite. You know, they go to A&M, Texas A&M, who has struggled a little bit this year. And I think then they've got Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, coming back to Knoxville. A solid Kentucky team, but I think in both cases, Tennessee going to be expected to win. I'm not saying sweep those series, but win those series. And that really hasn't been the case at this point. Tennessee's sort of a Florida, Vanderbilt, Georgia, maybe Alabama. They were, you know, I think that was a toss-up. But where Tennessee is now, what they have done to this point, the eyes of the baseball, college baseball world will probably be expecting Tennessee to win those series. How do they play? How do they handle that situation coming off was a disappointing loss today at home against Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, it does change when you're no longer the underdog and you are the presumed favorite, whether it be in a game or a series. How will this team handle that? The best thing they got going for it, when you look at it, Lipsius, Russell, some real key pieces on this team have been around, and they were here when Tennessee wasn't very good. I don't think that group is going to let maybe some of the younger guys get caught kind of napping, thinking, well, you know, this is not Vanderbilt or this is not Florida. We're going to win this series. So, in my mind, I think they'll be able to handle it because of those older veteran-type players.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And a team that has come through this year time and time again in clutch situations. Now, I will say this going forward, and this will be a key factor for Tennessee. Where's Connor Pavlone? If you saw the Saturday game, well, he just took a wicked shot pitch right on his hand. Coach Vitello saying yesterday, to this point, no fracture. You wonder if they got to sort of wait for the swelling to go down before they get a clear indication of where he is. Either way, broken or not broken, and let's hope it's not, that there is no fracture. That's a tough injury to come back from as a catcher. You know, you take so much of a beating back there anyway. In so many ways, Pav is the heart and soul of this team. He was really just starting to get going hitting with a couple of big home runs in each of the last two series. And defensively as a catcher, you saw today with the way Vanderbilt ran, he's as good as it gets back there behind the plate. So, and a leader, much like you're talking about, a guy that has been there and done it, and the guys rally around, they really need him. They need a healthy Connor Pavlone going forward. So we'll see where he is in these next couple
series. Well, and better to rest him up the next few. I mean, you know, whether you feel like you can do enough down the stretch to win the regular season doesn't really matter. To me, it's a tournament sport, SEC tournament, and then in the NCAA and regionals, super regionals. And, you know, that's some place that Tennessee's just kind of getting back and dipping their toe in. I mean, they made the you know, NCAA regionals a couple of years ago. Can they get to a super regional? Can they, you know, can they get to Omaha for the first time in 15 years? So, you know, I think for a lot of those things are riding on Russell, Lipsius, Pavlone. And so if Pavlone has to miss a couple of series to get healthy and be what he can be, I think that's what you got to do.
So Tennessee plays at home on Tuesday against Tennessee Tech. Then they go on the road for three games against Texas A&M, come back and plays Lipscomb that next Tuesday. Then they come back home and play Kentucky for three games. So that's what they have these next couple weeks of all. Again, here's the thing I think Vitello's done. You know, you can never just sort of encapsulate into one or two things as much as anything with his team. Is I now feel in watching them play, every game they go into, I genuinely think they've got a chance to win.
Well, they believe they can win. But, that, to me, that's as big as anything, is the kids on this team go in knowing they can win the baseball game.
And I think everybody around them does that too. And I think the way they have played, the way they believe, the way they've come through, and that's the beautiful thing. I don't think this team is caught up in what their batting averages look like, home run numbers. They do the things. You know what they're caught up in is they're caught up in winning, drawing walks, working pitchers deep into the count, taking extra bases, playing good, solid defense, getting pitchers, not walking people. Now, today was a little bit of a, you know, they hit Kirby Cannell better today than really anybody's hit Kirby all year long. I'm talking about Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt's a great baseball team. But this pitching staff has not walked a lot of people.
Well, look at yesterday. Think about yesterday. Top of the eighth. Runners at second and third with one out. Then you load the bases. You get the double play that ends the ends the inning, you get out of the jam. How many times did they get out of jams on Saturday? Then they turn around and, of course, have that huge five-run eighth and take the lead. And so, you know, to me, that's what you're talking about, finding ways to do the little things. You know, you don't play perfect baseball. You get some runners on base for Vanderbilt, but you get out of it because you're able to play good, you know, defense and good situational baseball, being able to, you know, put one on and then get the double play and get out of the inning.
You know, I thought to myself, I think I told you this, Austin, going to the Florida series 2 weeks ago, because, I mean, I know Florida may not be ranked as high as Vanderbilt or Arkansas. They're everybody's good. Talented, certainly they are. I think they swept somebody.
Any of these teams in the top 15.
Yeah, the top five, six teams in the SEC are as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah.
And I really felt like going into these two series, if Tennessee could come out of them and play 500 baseball in those six games, it might not necessarily be a win, but I felt like it would be a pretty good way to go into these two series against Texas A&M and Kentucky, and that's what they did. They were 3-3. Really were very close to sweeping Florida and went into the Sunday game against Vanderbilt with a chance to win the series. And you're 100% right. This team believes they can win every time they go out there, and I think they have created that mantra around them.
Well, and the fans have helped that belief system as well.
That when they play – and when's the last time anybody felt like that about Tennessee baseball in the SEC? The Chris Burke days?
Yeah, 2005.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a long time. And, by the way, Burke was on the call Saturday night, and I know he's supposed to be partial, but he first of all, he's great at what he does. He sees the game, explains the game as well as anybody, the college baseball game. But you could tell when Russell hit that grand slam when it came off his bat, you just heard the no way. You know, it's like, was this guy in his third home run, a grand slam? And of course, the place just absolutely erupted.
Well, first player in program history to have 2-3 home run games, and he does it in a 3 or 4 week span.
And I love what he'll
tell you. And both in SEC play.
We had Evan on the Nation a few weeks ago, and Evan will tell you, hey, man, I'm just a walk-on.
Here's your question. He's got an extra year of eligibility because of COVID, and he loves Tennessee baseball so much. You know, I mean, he's a good player. I'm not sure, you know, he can go to the minors. I think he's coming back. I mean –
Well, we've already seen that in basketball.
When you love it and you don't know what your future pro prospects really are, why give that up for something that may or may not be?
Well, we've already seen that with John Fulkerson announcing basketball that he will be back, and loved his video, by the way. Loved the video they put together from the pictures of him when he was a young kid in Kingsport and talking about what Tennessee meant to him. And good for him, because I know he did not want to go out the way it went out at the end of this year, getting hurt, not being able to play in the tournament, and certainly not having the kind of season that he wants or anybody felt like he should have. So it's good to see him back. Good to see him have another shot at it.
Name, image, and likeness passes, Chris. Pals is missing out on a real opportunity if they don't get a sandwich called the Big Falky.
We'll talk some more about hoops later on in the show. It's been a big quite a change of the roster and coaching staff on the Tennessee basketball team. So let's take our first break here on The Nation. He's Austin Price. I'm Chris Slog. We're at The Nation Studios. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. All right, welcome back to The Nation. And we want to go straight to the phone lines and welcome in special guest Mike Eckler, the Tennessee's special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. Mike, we appreciate you taking the time for us. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, I wanted to ask you you know, you look at this staff now, Josh Heupel and the staff he's put together. I really like the mix. A lot of guys on this staff have coached all over the country. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mike, you have coached in every Power 5 conference. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
What do you think that does? When you look at across your staff, you've got a lot of guys who've coached in the Big 10, guys who've had a lot of SEC experience, guys who've coached in the Big 12. You take Josh, for instance, played the Big 12, has coached at UCF. When you bring a new staff together like this and you have so many guys with so much diversity as far as coaching experience, what kind of advantage is that?
I think it's a big advantage, but ultimately what it boils down to is, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're coaching in the Pac-12, it doesn't matter if you're in the Big 12 or the SEC. I mean, coaching's teaching. And I think what Josh did is he hired a bunch of great teachers and really a bunch of really quality people. So you walk in that building every single day, and I mean, really, truly, you enjoy the people you're working with. We got a really, really bunch of smart people in there and people without egos, just people that ultimately want to do what's best for the University of Tennessee, and we want to win.
Mike, it's Austin. So when you met Josh Heupel some, 17, 18 years ago at Oklahoma, take me through those first time you met him and what you thought, and then how he's evolved and changed. Is he pretty similar to what he was back then? And I know you guys had been kind of trying to figure out a way to hook up for a few years now, and some timing didn't always work out, but it worked out this past year.
Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, starting back, I started off the exact same time he started off, and I was the defensive GA at Oklahoma, and he was the offensive GA. And, and he just got done playing and had a little stint in the NFL where he hurt his shoulder and couldn't play anymore. So he always knew he wanted to get into coaching. We got into coaching at the exact same time, and had my office was right next to his. And really, it was awesome getting to know him back then. And truly, he's the exact same person as a person that he was, or he is now, that he was then. So I think that speaks volumes, because a lot of times you can, get intoxicated by your own success, so to speak.
You walk in here, you're a thrill a minute on Twitter with all the chili and all that stuff. Have you found good chili in Knoxville? I mean, like, a serious question. Have you went to find some?
Hey, my stomach wouldn't do too good with chili now. Red Bull and chili don't mix.
We gotta get you off those Red Bulls, man.
Nah, you know what? I really don't. I gotta be honest with you. I don't drink very much of it. I'm just kind of a gardener. I'm just taking life anyway. I don't need it. So Mike, I'll have maybe one or two a week.
Let me ask you about this team and what you've seen through spring. And I understand spring's a lot about player development and giving guys chances to see what they can do. But as you've watched this team and some of the younger kids evolve, and I know you guys as a new staff never want to come in with any preconceived notions. You wipe the slate clean. But what has jumped out to you about this group of players as you guys get ready to play the spring game on Saturday?
Well, I think really the core group of guys, they really love ball. And so they come out, they pack their lunch pail every single day, and it's been a lot of fun putting in a new system, and these guys have embraced it. And we got a long way to go, but we got a fun group of young men to work with, and they're busting their tail to get it right. And we're busting our tail to teach them and exactly what we want. And I'll tell you, I've been in so many different situations over the years coming in. And quite honestly, you can be in a locker room at Southern Cal, you can be in a locker room at Oklahoma, or you can be in a locker room at Tennessee, and it's very similar. I mean, you're dealing with young men who are all similar in skill sets in a lot of ways. But ultimately, it comes down to this. You got to earn their trust, and that takes time. And then you got to earn their respect, so to speak, and that you can develop them and teach them and get them to maximize their ability. And then at the end of the day, once you have those two things, then once they figure out that you actually care about them and you actually love them, then you got something. And so we're kind of in those stages where they're beginning to trust us right now. And respect the fact that we know what we're talking about. And so, again, it's just a process, and it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it.
You're working with the outside backers on defense. You got Tyler Barron. You got Bryson Eason. You've got Byron Young. There's some nice young pieces there for you to kind of help mold. What do those guys bring? It seems like they kind of bring a little bit something different. Everybody's kind of got their little niche.
They really do. I mean, you look at Bryson Easton, 280 pounds. So he's got a real power game. And you look at Tyler Barron, and he's about 260 pounds, and he's got a little more juice off the edge and a little more, just a little bit different skill set. And then you look at B.Y., and B.Y.'s 235 pounds, and he probably runs a 4.4. The guy has got some serious speed. So, like you said, every one of those guys is a little bit unique and a little bit different skill set. And you kind of, you're just bringing out the best in them and utilizing it within our system the best we can.
Hey, Mike, it's Chris Lowe. We're visiting with Mike Eichler, Tennessee's special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. We had Coach Banks on with us a few weeks ago talking about this defense, this team, and he talked about the mentality he wants to be a pressure defense, to come after people, to set the tone. How have you seen that mentality grow this spring?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, Coach Banks is what I call an RLD. That's a real live dude. And our players would tell you that he probably, you could toss on some Dizzle that, because that's a step above, an RL Dizzle. And he's a really, 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 really phenomenal football coach, and he's done a great job. And what's really been fun to watch is it takes a little bit of time, and I'm sure that I'm not trying to speak for Coach Banks, but to put in a new defense and then to put it in against an offense that's going a mile a minute, you got to do it a little bit different. And he's done a phenomenal job in really putting our guys in a good situation and at the same time putting in a lot of defense.
Mike, that's a segue into what I wanted to ask you. So many offenses now are running the speed ball, the up-tempo. You're going as fast as they possibly can, spreading people out. Obviously, what Tennessee did last year offensively was not that. What you guys are doing this year is that. How much does that help you guys on defense to see that every day, knowing this coming season you're going to see it week in and week out pretty much?
I think from a defensive perspective, and again, this is just my opinion. Coach Banks may differ. But from my opinion, I think in the long run, it helps you. If you can put in your defense, install your concepts, and get your guys to understand it and make split-second decisions day in and day out, then when you're playing a team that goes slower, they'll be sitting there going, come on, man, let's go. You got all kinds of time. And so I think I'd much rather personally do it the way we're doing it than have to go into a game week and play against a tempo team and now all of a sudden it's completely out of your comfort zone.
Coach, I know you can't talk specifics about recruiting, but how much are you looking forward to the dead period ending? It's been in effect for over a year now, to be able to get prospects back to campus and just kind of get a feel for them, let them get a feel for you, and just kind of be normal in the world of recruiting. I mean, I know Zoom has helped some, but it's not the same as, your traditional face-to-face interaction.
No, you hit the nail on the head. I can't wait. Absolutely can't wait. And here's why. You talk to any NFL scout, you talk to anybody, any college coach who's been doing it for some time, and you get an idea when you're watching it on film, when you're watching a player, it piques your interest. But you ultimately don't know a hundy until you go see them live. And when you see them live and see their movement skills, live and in color, then you're either like, yep, all right, that's exactly what I thought. Or a lot of times you're like, man, I didn't realize he was stiff in the hips, stiff in the ankles. He really labors out of his breaks. Whatever it is, you see their deficiencies. But you truly don't know 100% until you actually see them live. So, yeah, I can't wait.
And then the opposite side of that is some guys you may not be able to see how actually really good and fluid they are or what kind of competition they're playing against. And you get them in person, you get to see, all the positive things about them, right?
No question. Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to be negative on that, but you're exactly right. I mean, it goes both ways. You'll see a guy, and I mean, through the years, I've seen guys, and I didn't even know what their doggone name was. And you walk out of there going, I want that guy. So you're exactly right.
Well, I don't want you to rehash the full story, but what was it that caused you to have to get taken and dropped off 26 miles from the stadium in Nebraska? And then you ran back in. What was that?
It was extra hot chili.
I think if that happens here.
I'll tell you the quick story. Here's a quick story. Number one, I love to run. And I don't really enjoy sitting around. Like right now, I'm at Calhoun's out at Oak Ridge. I'm standing on the dock looking at glass right in front of me and just sitting here wondering why in the world I'm not out there on my slalom ski just cutting this up. So, but back to that story, shoot, my wife was out of town with the kids,
I didn't have anything to do right after our scrimmage. What was I going to do? Go home and sit down and watch TV? So I figured we had a great scrimmage, and I had my man Joe Mobley drop me off on the interstate on I-80, and I was going to run a marathon.
Well, if that happens here, since Neyland is one of only two stadiums you can get to by land and by water, that the other one being Washington, I think we drop you 26.2 miles away on the river and have you swim back. Your thoughts?
Hey, I'm up for that.
Well, Mike, man, we really appreciate you joining us, and I know it's been a whirlwind for you. It must be pretty cool. I mean, you Lawrence, Kansas, Bloomington, Indiana, Los Angeles, California, Baton Rouge, Athens, now Knoxville. You've pretty much seen every side of college football, and I'm sure you're very excited and eager to get settled in here on Rocky Top.
Oh, no doubt. But we were taking a family vacation a couple of years ago, and one of my daughters asked me, she said, "Dad, what do we tell people when they ask where we're from?" So I hit that country song, "I've Been Everywhere, Man."
And Johnny Cash.
Naming off all these places. Yeah, and Johnny Cash starts singing, naming off all these places. And they're like, "Yeah, we've been there. But that's what you tell people. "I've been everywhere, man."
Well, but
we're fired up. And I'll tell you, hitting one more thing about Josh Heupel. I mean, I had never seen him as a head football coach until I got here 2.5 months ago. And he reminds me a lot of a guy that I played for in Bill Snyder. I mean, he is so doggone meticulous, and I'll tell you, nothing gets by the guy. He comes off the practice field with a page of notes, and just from a special team standpoint, he'll come in and come into my office, and he'll say, "Hey, I didn't like this. I like this. Why do we do this? Why do we call it that?" You know, I mean, he is on top of everything, and I think I'm just beyond fired up to work with him and work for him and work here at Tennessee and with this entire staff, Willie Martinez, Coach Banks, BJ, Coach G on the defensive side, Coach Golish and Ellerby and Burns and Mack and everybody on the offensive side. I mean, we got a great crew, man.
Well, Mike, I just hope that Josh doesn't eat at 2 or 3 in the morning the way Coach Snyder did. When I was out there a few years ago to visit with Coach Snyder, asking what those stories were true, and he sort of sheepishly looked at me and said, "Yeah, I was." Of course, he was in the office for about 18 hours, and he said, "Yeah, I'd eat about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning."
Yeah, hey, we're busting it right now about that, too. So, but seriously, though, I'm telling you, you got yourself an RLD as a head ball coach here now, and we're gonna do some great things, and we'll get this thing turned around.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time, and for any of those listeners out in Oak Ridge and want to swing by the Melton Hill Calhouns, they actually had chili when we were there yesterday for lunch, so I'm sure Coach Eckler would be glad to partake in a bowl of chili with any of the listeners out in Oak Ridge right now. Coach, we appreciate you joining us.
Tell anybody who's got a dog on Mastercraft to pull up to the dock right now. I got a pair of shorts on. I'm ready to go.
Oh, man. You're going to get deluged now, Coach. You done it, man. There's going to be about 10 of them here within 2 or 3 minutes.
I don't think you realize.
where the heck's this fall Navy I keep hearing about, man?
Listen, man, we appreciate it. You have a great night, okay?
Hey, you have a great one, too. Thanks for having me on.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Coach.
That's Tennessee Special Teams Coordinator and outside linebackers Coach Mike Heckler breaking it down with us tonight on The Nation. Great stuff, and we're going to take our second break here from The Nation Studios and be back in just a minute or two. Back here on The Nation, we'll remind fans that this season to relax, enjoy, and celebrate with a great refreshing beverage is the support of the University of Tennessee Athletics. Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment that's made to chill. Twisted Tea, Real Brewed Iced Tea with a twist of lemon. Light and crisp, truly hard seltzer. And ice cold Dos Equis Cerveza, distributed across the Volunteer State by Cherokee Distributing. Remember to celebrate responsibly, and 21 means 21. I think a few of those beverages might have been consumed this weekend by the legends of Lindsey Nelson there. Just a hunch. And watching the games on TV and being there on Friday. I tell you what, let's talk a little bit more football, AP. We just had a great interview with Mike Eckler, Tennessee's outside linebackers coach and special teams coordinator. So we'll ask you the marathon question of the week. Stop by your friendly neighborhood marathon station today. You'll discover how Full Tank of Freedom means that no matter what you're up for, they'll take you wherever you go, marathon fueling the American spirit. Mike mentioned a couple of kids. In fact, you asked him about a couple of kids and sort of what they brought to the table. As you survey this defense, and I'm talking about guys that can wreak havoc off the edge, outside linebackers, pass rushers, guys that can really get to the quarterback and impact the football game, who are two or three of those guys that you think really need to come on? Who are those guys on this team as you sort of point forward to the 2021 season?
I think the most consistent player off the edge at outside backer slash defensive end is going to be Tyler Barron. Now, the guy that I think is going to flash the most is the guy that he talked about last, and that's 235-pound Byron Young, who comes way of Georgia military and is an incredible story, Chris. He was working at a Dollar General, saw a flyer for some football tryouts at Georgia Military, originally from South Carolina, moved down to Columbus, Georgia, and, again, was working at a Dollar General. Saw the flyer, went in. Next thing you know, he becomes a football player, a football recruit, and, you know, has really flashed so far through spring. I mean, he's got the quickest get off on the team, and does that mean that he's going to be, you know, an unbelievable player on the edge? I don't know. Time will tell, but I do know that there are several people over there, whether it be coaches and or players, that are playing him up big time as a guy who's flashed and shown a lot of ability through the first, you know, 80% of spring practice.
You know, we asked him about Coach Banks, Tim Banks, Tennessee's defensive coordinator, and I love what he said about him and the way he, you know, and it's clear when you talk to people about Banks and have a chance to get to know that Penn State staff, you know, it's sort of been the same message from them about the way he goes about his business, the way he coaches. And I understand that Tennessee's personnel is not going to be, right now anyway, not going to be what Georgia's and Alabama's and some of the best teams in the SEC are. But it sure does sound like, AP, that this defense is going to be a fun defense to watch in terms of the way they get after teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, again, I think it's all going to be dependent on Rodney Gardner's group. That's where the most experience lies. Linebacker doesn't have a ton of experience at all. I think the secondary has some experience, but they're real thin. I think you've got depth, bodies that have played, experience, and some talent on the defensive line. And what can Rodney Gardner get out of some of those guys? Can he pull the best out of Matthew Butler? Can he pull the best out of a guy like Aubrey Solomon, who played last year way overweight? Can he pull the best out of some of those younger kids, whether it be Omari Thomas or whoever else? To me, that's going to be fascinating to watch, because last year they basically had a substitute teacher last year. We all know what happens when you have substitute teachers. You know, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt was the head football coach. He could only do so much with the defensive line during practice. So to have a full-time D-line coach that's with you there in the meeting room every practice, that's with you out on the field every practice from start to finish, I think that says a lot.
Well, knowing Rodney Garner as I do, I can promise you he'll get everything and then some out of the kids that completely and totally buy in. And now the older guys, you know, I think that's the
See, I think that I think the older guys are buying in, because I don't think he's giving them an option. A guy like Matthew Butler is a perfect example of a guy who wanted another year. You know, had he went to the NFL draft, he would probably not have gotten drafted. He would have tried to latch on as a free agent, maybe yes or no. That's my point with like a guy like Evan Russell. You know, what are the realistic options? You go play single A and double A ball, or do you come back for Tennessee for another year? Another, I mean, like, think of it, you just continue to build what you are here. Look at the legend he's become the last three, four weeks. You know, he gets to come back for another year. Same thing with Fulkerson, who's, you know, announces he's coming back, and he's out there delivering popcorn to Lindsay's, you know, legends out there.
you'll get everything Butler's got. There's no doubt in my mind.
And that's what I'm saying. So,
some of those other guys, I mean, the guys that have been around, maybe bigger guys, you know, you mentioned Solomon, Emerson, Middleton. Those are the guys they're going to need up to step up and be leaders and play big.
Here's the deal. If they don't step up, he will make them step out.
No, they won't be around.
And that's my point. It's like, you know, they're not going to be left with an option. So, you know, I think that Tennessee's defense, when you look at it, will be driven from start to finish by Rodney Garner's defensive line.
And you're 100% right, because if you don't do it Rodney Garner's way, you ain't going to do it, period. All right, let's take our third break. Coming up with our final segment here on the Nation of the season here at the Nation Studios. We'll talk some hoops here in this last segment. He's Austin Price. I'm Chris Lowe. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. All right, welcome back into the Nation. We got about a few minutes left here before we close it down for the, let's say, for Austin's golf season, spring and summer. And we'll hit you back in August. And then we certainly thank all the people that made the Nation a possibility. Most of all, we appreciate you, the fans, for tuning in and spending part of your Sunday evening with us. It's a great pleasure, great honor to do this show. It's something that is near and dear to my heart, as I think back to when we first started this many, many years ago. I guess back when you were in what elementary school, Austin?
Diapers, man. Diapers. We're going to play that. Let's just go ahead and go for the gusto.
But the late, great Edwin Huster, it's his was his brainchild, and certainly we remember Edwin. I do every time I come here Sunday to do the show. Let's talk some Tennessee hoops as we close the show. Been an eventful last few weeks for Rick Barnes. Six new players.
Well, they're the poster child for the new era of college athletics, because with the transfer portal and the one-time transfer, you can turn over your whole roster in a matter of weeks, especially at a sport like basketball where you don't have but, 12 to 15 players. So, I mean, like, Tennessee loses, Keon and Jaden. Eve Pons is going to go ahead and he finished out his eligibility. He could have come back for the COVID year, but chose not to. And then, they start, seeing a couple of guys leave the program, like a Drew Pember or Devontae Gaines. Well, then they go in and they start just pulling people in left and right. Justin Powell's here. The former Auburn player, Vial, who's from Louisville. They start, pulling in guys, like Jonas Adu or Brandon Huntley Hatfield, four or five star guys, depending on where you look in the rankings, that are post players. Adu more of a regular post. Huntley Hatfield, I don't want to compare him to Kevin Durant, because I don't think that's fair whatsoever. But he can handle it. Like, he's a big guy that can handle the ball.
And he mentioned Durant, when he signed up with the Vols. He mentioned Durant as being one of his best favorite players, and certainly Rick Barnes coached Durant. But to get big height, big bodies, big height, he's 6'9", 6'10". Adu's almost 7 foot.
He is 7 foot, yeah.
They needed that kind of height. And they're not done. I think you're going to see Tennessee bring in. They're going to hit the transfer portal hard. They're going to keep looking. I think they want to bring in at least one more big guy in this class. And, of course, you surround all these guys with the best point guard in the country.
That's right. To me, point guard is like quarterback. Like, if you have the right guy, it makes up for all of the deficiencies you may have. Tennessee got to figure out the quarterback thing in football. They're getting their point guards figured out with Kennedy Chandler. I mean, listen, Jaden Springer, he was kind of a tweener. He wasn't a true point guard. He probably wasn't really big enough for it to be a true two. He was just a good basketball player. Vescovi, not a true point guard. Victor Bailey can do some things, but not a point guard. To get a true point guard, I think that's going to be, something that really helps this team. You go back to Jordan Bone. To me, he was the guy that drove that team that year. Yeah, Admiral and Grant were the key pieces, but would they have been as good if Bone couldn't go up and down the court with a snap of a finger? I say no. I think they would have still won a lot of ball games, but would they have been as good? No. I think he was a total really kind of steered the ship, so to speak, for that group. And I think getting a point guard that can do that will help Rick Barnes and company immediately and immensely.
Well, and the other recruit, we mentioned him at the outset of the show, John Fulkerson. I look forward to seeing John Fulkerson on the floor with Kennedy Chandler distributing the basketball. I think that's going to help John Fulkerson immensely.
Because John plays well without the basketball.
And he will run the court.
Yep.
He will run the court. And I think Tennessee did not have that turn the corner, penetrate, kind of break you down off the dribble guy last year. And I think you mentioned Vescovi, you mentioned Bailey. I think those guys, their games will flourish with Chandler. If they play their roles with Chandler on the floor, it's going to be a different-looking team, without question. It's going to be a different-looking team, period, because you're going to have so many new faces on the floor. But you're 100% right, AP. A guy like Chandler, in today's game especially, makes a huge difference. And to bring in size, some length, because both these kids, Adu and Huntley Hatfield. Now, Huntley Hatfield and Chandler are both five-star prospects.
Yep. And a dude could end up being 5-4 right. is all said yeah. and done.
Huntley Hatfield's a kid, really, that had he not reclassified, was going to be in the 2022 class. I think in that class, he was the number 4 player
yeah.
or number 2 player, period, overall in the country. So these are big-time prospects that Tennessee's beaten out pretty much a who's who list of college basketball powers to get. Those are the waters you got to be swimming in if you're going to get deep in the tournament. So we got about a minute and a half left. We want to thank everybody, all the guests. Everybody has been so gracious with their time this year, coaches, players. It's been a lot of fun. Our main man, Chris, Jay, for making it work, all the guys behind the scenes for making it happen. Certainly our friends here at IMG Learfield for setting this show up, and we look forward to getting this thing all cranked up again back some probably next mid-August as we get ready to, I think what we all hope, to have a more normal college football season. You on board with that, AP?
100%.
And we'll be here before you know it. Of course, when you play 4 or 5 rounds of golf every week like you're going to the next 3 or 4 months, it'll be here really fast.
No, there's no doubt about it. I plan on being on the golf course a lot, including 1 month from today.
Also look forward to seeing what Tony Vitello and this Tennessee baseball team can do in the second half now this SEC schedule. Because even though you've played some highly ranked teams and maybe you got some series coming up that Tennessee will probably be favored in the world of SEC baseball, we talk about SEC football. I think it's even tougher in SEC baseball because it just gets tougher and tougher every week. Would love to see Tennessee get a shot at one of those top 8 seeds. I don't know how realistic that is, but certainly at the very least, a home regional.
No doubt. All right. I agree with you 100%.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. It's been a great run this season. We look forward to, again, next season here on The Nation. So long. Have a blessed spring and summer. We'll see you here in a few months.